Good morning. Let's pray. Lord, we should be overwhelmed by your goodness. To witness Henry being installed here, to join with Henry and Betsy in your mission, to hear Dan with the good news of your fruit in New Hampshire, Lord, to be encouraged and convicted by the power of the gospel and our call to go. And right after this service, to be able to welcome Caroline to Covenant, thank you, Father. Don't let me glide by the fact that we can call you Father. We are your children, and you as our Father have summoned us, like Robbie said a couple of weeks ago, gathered us as your family. Thank you. Thank you that two of our brothers, David and Charlie Odell, will go this week to Poland to deliver crates destined for Ukraine. Keep the Odells safe. Please use them and the donations they're bringing to impact your kingdom. Thank you for the Shepherd family. Lee, Jennifer, Lofton, Lucy, and Mary Graham, bless them with an unshakable sense of your presence as Mary Graham gets ready for surgery next month. We know the hands of the King are the hands of a healer, the healer, and we pray for your healing hand through MG's surgery. And through it all, guard all of their hearts and minds with your peace. Thank you for being our burden bearer, our very present help in trouble. We pray that you would bear the burdens of the Gemeinhardt family, that you would embrace them in the midst of pain that I cannot imagine. Please sustain the McQuistian family with Bob passing away a few days ago. Bob with his wife Vicky were some of Covenant's first missionaries. We praise you that you are making all things new and there will be a death to death. Thank you for Almina Bell Barlotta, Rachel and Kevin's baby daughter, and John Ivor Liberto, Maggie and Nathan's baby son. Be with Liberto's and Barlotta's as they welcome these little ones into their families and enable us to help the Barlotta's and Liberto's in the nurture of all their kids. Lord, speak now through Robbie as he preaches your word. Make the gospel reverberate. Remind us, as he said last week, remind us of our gracious past and glorious future. Focus us on your redemptive message and your mission. Grow us through your spirit. Fuel us by your grace so, like the quote in the bulletin says, we will go together and live out our discipleship in every area of life. Thank you, Father. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
I'm so glad that Dan pointed out that Reverend Bill Hay and Cindy Hay are with us here today. Some of you are recent visitors or haven't been here very long and wouldn't know maybe necessarily that Reverend Hay is the founding pastor of this church and led Covenant Presbyterian Church, laid an excellent foundation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for over three decades here. And partly, one thing you might not know also is that a major ethos of this church grew with passion for God's global mission when Reverend Bill Hay, sitting right there, first went on a mission trip to Romania and came back and told Covenant Presbyterian Church how important God's mission was to the nations. He began to go to Romania and to Chile and to come back with really significant reports. And Covenant Presbyterian Church, since that day, has been a church deeply invested in God's global mission to the nation. So it's great on the day that we install our first ever outreach and missions pastor, that we have our founding pastor here, on the day that we're looking at our missional vision, God's missional vision for our whole church, our neighbors, and the nations. Here it is in a nutshell. We gather, grow, and go in Christ Jesus into all things. And today I want to talk about that. If you will, there's that shiny gather, grow, and go guide somewhere near you. It might be right in front of you in your pew. If you're on the front row, it's probably underneath you. If you'll pull it out and look at it for me right before we read our passage today, turn to page 14 and 15. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first third. God is on a gracious mission, gathering people to himself. We respond to God's grace. We gather by faith in God's gracious presence. Since it's God who gathers people to himself, we grow. We are transformed by the gracious presence of God. When you're around something powerful and glorious and beautiful, it changes you. Well, God is gathering us to himself to transform us into the image of his son. So we gather and we grow in Christ Jesus. So today we're going to look at that third part of our mission, which is simply this: we go in Christ Jesus. Our participation in God's mission, we are people who go in the name of Jesus Christ to one another, to our neighbors, and to the nations. That's our focus today. Look at the bottom of page 14, the unnumbered page there, the purple page, under "We Go in Christ Jesus." The Father sent the Son to rescue us. The Father and the Son sent the Spirit to gather and empower us to join in his gracious mission. So today, we're going to read from Paul's letter to a church in Colossae and see his insight into God's global mission, God's cosmic mission, and also how we participate in this global and cosmic mission that is God. So will you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, or in your worship guide, page 12. So don't let me confuse you. Here's the Gather, Grow, and Go guide. Glossy, put that away now, and open your worship guide or your Bible to Colossians 1. And here's how Paul begins the letter. Right before I read it, just as a reminder, when Paul wrote these words, he'd never met the church in Colossae. He had met one guy named Epaphras, who probably was converted under Paul's ministry. And Epaphras went back to his homies in Colossae, which is now part of Turkey, in the first century. And Epaphras, who heard the good news about Jesus, went back to his own hometown, told his people about Jesus, and they believed. And this is the Apostle Paul's response to that in Colossians 1, verse 3 and following. Here we read, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for y'all, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you. As indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Pray with me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you that you've gathered us into your good, glorious, gracious, holy presence. Thank you for your gracious promise to grow us up to be the people you've rescued us to be. Help us remember today in your presence that you're ascending, God, and you've made us a going people. Help us discern how this is true and respond to you with maturing faith, new zeal, new obedience. In Jesus' name and for his glory, we pray. Amen. All right, well, right there on page 13 is an outline for today. And with the 5 minutes I have left, I'm going to talk about God's global mission, God's cosmic mission, and then how we participate in those three things. Did you notice it was almost a throwaway line in Colossians 1, 3 through 7? Paul says, hey, Epaphras told you, and you believed. We always give God thanks when we hear there's a new church anywhere in the world. When we hear that people believe, we immediately turn to God and thank him. Why? Because this is what God is doing, and God gets the glory. You heard the word of truth about the grace of God from our fellow servant Epaphras. And when you heard it, you believed. We're thanking God for that. And then what does he say? This gospel that is come to you, it's like a throwaway line. It's also bearing fruit and increasing in the whole world. Do you want to know what God is up to in the world? God is drawing people to himself throughout the whole world through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what God is doing in the world. That's what Paul says right there. Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, verse 6, which has come to y'all, you crazy Colossian Gentiles, you, as indeed in the whole world, it's bearing fruit and increasing. The gospel is bearing fruit and increasing in the whole world because the gospel is God's primary power to achieve God's primary purpose. We read it, Molly read it for us in Genesis 12, all the way back from the first book of the Bible. God's been telling his covenant people, I have a plan for you. I've drawn you to myself. I'm going to bless you, Abram. I'm even going to change your name. I'm going to take you, you aged man and your barren wife, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great. And through you, and eventually through you and your seed, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth. This is God's global mission. You can read about it in the first book of the Bible, and you can read about it in the last book of the Bible, and you can read it throughout the whole story. We serve a gracious God who's calling people to repentance and faith from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. This is who God is, and it's what he's up to, and we get to participate. We do. It's wonderful. Just for a minute, I want you to turn to page 14 with me, and I want to invite you to pray about that with me right now. The sermon's not over. Don't get too excited. But I want you to pray with me about our common mission in response to who God is, the power of the gospel, and God's plan to rescue the nations and our neighbors. Will you please pray this prayer, top of page 14, with me? Lord, please galvanize us with your gracious vision for our whole body, our neighbors, and the nations. Renew among us a genuine eagerness to tell our neighbors the good news and help plant new churches near and far. Grant us persistent joy, practical wisdom, and patient endurance as we live out your great commission. Strengthen us as we labor to see people from every nation, all tribes, every ethnicity, and each unique linguistic group baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Risen Lord Jesus, reorder us again and again to love your teachings so that by the Holy Spirit we will be enabled more and more to help one another, our neighbors, and the nations observe all that you have commanded us. King Jesus, help us believe you are with us to the end of this short present age to accomplish your gracious mission. To this end, grant us power from the Holy Spirit as we repent and call others to repentance, and as we forgive and announce forgiveness in Jesus' name. Thank you for praying that with me. Will you continue to do so? I was listening to a podcast this week by a guy named Chris Wright. John Stott asked Chris Wright about 30 years ago to lead this thing called the Langham Partnership, which is a global effort to see pastors and leaders raised up for the whole global church. And Chris Wright will be our Missions Festival speaker late February, so please come and hear him. But I was listening to his podcast, and he's interviewing this guy named Bayer, something I can't pronounce, from Mongolia. And I was just listening to it. I think it was Wednesday. And I was listening, and he was talking to this guy, Bayer, and Bayer was talking about how he was converted when he was a teenager. But it was a very exciting time because the Soviet Union had strong control over Mongolia for 68 years. But that began to change, like much of the globe changed, in 1989. And a revival broke out in Mongolia in 1991 and 1992, and the church was growing explosively. One guy that Bayer knew, another young man, when he was a teenager, he planted a church, and within a year, there were 700 new converts in that church. And the church was just growing explosively, and it needed to grow explosively because good research has been done by people who know the church in Mongolia well, and they've determined that as far as they know, in 1989, there were four Christians in Mongolia. Four. And then after a couple decades, there were 40,000. And then there were, and today people think the best estimate is there's 60,000 vibrant believers in the Church of Jesus Christ of Mongolia. I mean, it's a great story. They've gone from four people to 60,000, which is wonderful. They've reached 2% of the population of Mongolia. And since they're at about 2.2%, that makes them right on the border of being an unreached people group, because there's 3.3 million people who live in Mongolia, an area about twice the size of Texas. 3.3 million people, and there's 60,000 now, after a few decades of revival, that now believe in Jesus. And so that unreached people group is a significant statistic, because globally, there's over 7,000 people groups, ethnicities, unique language speakers, who've never heard of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, much less the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that represents 3.3 billion people who don't live around a church like Covenant Presbyterian Church. They don't have evangelists or missionaries or pastors who just Christians who are sharing the gospel with them. $3.3 billion. Do you see what verse 6 says? The gospel that's come to you, it's indeed bearing fruit and increasing in the whole world. God's mission is still unfolding. If you thought it was almost over, 3.3 billion people don't have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're alive right now. There's under 8 billion people, as far as we know, on the planet right now, and 3.3 billion of them to have no one to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. God is still doing this global mission, and we get to participate. It's great news. This week, I heard that podcast, and in those years, 89, 90, 91, I was at Covenant College, and my friend Roger Lambert was teaching me Greek for the first time, and he's a good friend. I think he's 84 years old today, and I just remembered that he had been in Mongolia, so I sent the podcast to Roger and Sarah Lambert, I think on Thursday or Friday, and they listened to it, and about an hour later, Sarah, his wife, sent me a text, said, Robbie, thank you so much for sending Roger and me that podcast about Mongolia, and I didn't remember these details. She's like, Roger was there in 1991 sharing the gospel on that ground floor of what God was doing in Mongolia. And Roger and Sarah went back in 1992 together to teach English as a second language. And they were seeing the church in those early years begin to grow and people get converted. They said one day they were in the capital city and they walked around the corner and Richard Pratt was there walking into the church to preach the gospel. And they went in and saw people hear the gospel. They were there in those early years. But you know what? It's been a few decades and they'd lost track. And they listened to that podcast and they were deeply encouraged that some little investments they made decades ago were still bearing fruit today. Don't you see that you and I have those opportunities? In places like Birmingham, in places like New Hampshire, and all across the globe, you and I are free to go and send one another now to make the gospel known about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's plenty of work to do, which is really great news because we're a large group of people and there's lots of work to do and there's plenty for all of us to do. It was great that we installed Henry today. I'm as excited about that as almost anything I've been since I've moved to Birmingham. And here's the truth about people like Henry and me. The vast majority of pastors and evangelists and people doing mission work, the vast majority of us are serving in places like Birmingham or like London or like other parts of the world where there's way more than 2% Christians. But the percentage of people like Henry and me that are serving those 3.3 billion, it's less than 1%. So maybe God's going to call someone from this church in a fresh way to go overseas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if so, we're going to be behind you like crazy. We can't wait to send you. So I'm going to go fast. Now let's look at God's cosmic mission real quickly. And I'm going to pick up the pace. Here we go. Look with me at this next part of Colossians 1, 13 to 20. What Paul does there in verses 9 and following is he prays for this new church in Colossae. And then this is what he says. God the Father, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness, Colossians 1, 13. Rescued us from an evil kingdom and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Don't forget the heart of the message. We've been forgiven, and that's the core of our message to the nations. Verse 15, he, the Son, is the image of the invisible God. If you really want to know what God is like, you look at the Son. the eternal Son who became one of us. He's the image, the firstborn of, and now catch how many times we say these words, all creation. For by him, all things were creation. What do you mean, Paul? Well, in heaven and on earth. Oh, really? Yes, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, might be preeminent, the one who gets the chief honor for all things. For in him, verse 19, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Very quickly, Paul used the phrase all things seven times in this tight paragraph, because here's what he means. Jesus is the agent of the creation of all things. God's Son is sustaining all things. He's holding everything together at all times. And the one who's the agent of the creation of all things, who's sustaining of all things, he's also the agent of the reconciliation of all things. And I got to go really fast. So just note with me, that's the case. How is the blood of the cross related to the reconciliation of all things? I don't fully understand it. It's beyond me. But here's a little step at it. God made you and me the royal priesthood, the upper management, the royal stewards of his whole creation. We rebelled against God. Anything God does to reconcile upper management to himself, it flows to all things. Because you and I are, as God's image bearers, as God's human, we're upper management of the whole creation order, God's whole project to go from the garden to the glorious city. So whatever God does to reconcile you and me, that's good news for every aspect of his creation. It's good news for all things, if we who are in charge of all things are reconciled to the gracious God. And I got to move on. Where are we going to start? If you just look at verse 18, here's how this tight paragraph works. Before verse 18, he made all things. He sustained all things. After verse 18, he's the agent of the reconciliation of all things. In the middle, he's the head of the church, his body. So here's the bottom line. I'll just do it really quickly. Jesus Christ has won the cosmic victory over sin, death, and evil through his life, his death, and his resurrection. He's already won the victory, and he has a body to implement the victory. And that's you and me. What a privilege. He's won the victory, and we get to implement that victory in all things. Finally, let's look at how we can participate in God's gracious mission. And I'm going to claim back 45 seconds of my 5 minutes. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 2. Here's how the epistle ends. At the beginning, oh, we heard of your faith. We're praying for you. At the end, will you please pray for me? The apostle Paul didn't do ministry through self-reliance. The apostle Paul didn't do ministry in self-confidence. He turned to a brand new church of believers and said, will you pray for me? Continue steadfastly in prayer, Colossians 4:2, paying attention, being watchful in it, with thanksgiving. Don't forget to give thanks. You've been rescued from a dark kingdom and your sins are forgiven. Woo! You belong to God. Keep giving God thanks. At the same time, pray also for us. But Paul wrote this letter with Timothy, and Epaphras is his fellow companion. He's about to mention some more later part of chapter. So Paul's saying, hey, all of us that are doing this gospel evangelistic ministry thing, pray for us. And look what he says. Pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, verse 4, that I might make it clear which is how I ought to speak. On a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you think the Apostle Paul understood the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you see it? The Apostle Paul, who articulates the gospel of Jesus Christ with perfection, inspired by the Spirit, an apostle who wrote much of the New Testament, who's a missionary companion with a guy named Mark and a guy named Luke. the Apostle Paul says, I'm doing this ministry, and here's what I need you to do. Pray that God will open doors. Why? The gospel is the power of God for salvation. If God opens the door, they don't have a chance. Pray that God will open a door for us so we can go in and share the gospel. And then the Apostle Paul says this, please pray that when we talk about Jesus, the mystery of Christ, that we'll do it clearly. Because that's how we should speak. So you have a new way to pray for all your pastors. And for Henry, who we're installing today as our outreach and missions pastor, please pray for us that God will open doors for us to share the gospel here and anywhere he sends us. And please pray for us that we'll make it clear. And please especially pray that for Henry and Betsy, who are regularly doing this ministry with people from all kinds of nations. There's over 165 people from the nations studying at UAB right now from over 100 different nations. And Henry and Betsy are regularly doing ministry with them. So pray for God to open doors so they can share the gospel, which is God's power, and do it clearly, because it comes to great effect. And finally, this is that 28 of my 45 seconds. How can we participate? You can give. You can go. We've already prayed once. There's a prayer I skipped. But that's okay. Now look with me at verse 5. Not just pray for us, but here's what you can do, God's people. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Even in the Bible Belt, even in the buckle of the Bible Belt, there are people who haven't met Jesus. And Paul wants us to walk in wisdom toward them. That includes being aware of them, being oriented to them in gracious ways and in hopeful ways, because that's what he says. Make the best use of the time. Verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. You know the grace of God, the forgiving, debt-canceling grace of God. Let that color all that you say. Talk about that grace and do it graciously. The gospel's offensive. Please don't be offensive. The gospel has its own power to rescue and its own power to offend. We don't need to be the offense. And here's what Paul says when he says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Here, this metaphor of salt does not mean preservative. Paul had zero interest in preserving the culture of the Roman Empire. He thinks what we should say about Jesus should be interesting, desirable, tasty. And that's what he's saying. Hey, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Share the good news of the gospel, speak graciously, and say something interesting. Get to know your actual neighbors so you can know what interests them, so you can connect that and them to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. The most important things to remember about this vision is that God is graciously gathering us. He's about to gather us at his table to feed us. God gives us the growth we need. And when we go in the name of Jesus into every vocation, into all the things that he sends us, we're going with the one who promises to be with us to the end of the age, even as he promises to meet us at his table. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your life for us. Now feed us and nourish us, strengthen us to be devoted to this mission that you have for us. Amen.